Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And hearty, 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 Friday 13th to you and yours. Are you spooked? Are you scary? It's Friday the 13th. Are you scared? I totally forgot about it the entire day. Somebody turned around and said, hey, Friday the 13th, did you know? I was like, no, I had no idea. Because I don't fall into that hocus pocus anymore. I ain't afraid of you. Shaking Michael Myers, Candyman, Madman, Chucky. All right, maybe you, Chucky. A lot. I got a thing with midgets, man. I'm sorry. That's just me. You and the little people. It's Reese on the radio. Welcome back. The number's 347-308-8771. I pray to you. I fixed my microphone. We went through 2 days of this BS. And on the worst day of the week, Friday, when it's all over, I finally get it right. But you know the number 347-308-8701. Now, somebody's probably going to tell me that I'm breaking up, but I know that my microphone is on and up today. What is up, JC, the producer?
Hey, bud, what's going on? How are you today?
I'm good. Now, my microphone sounds good now, right?
It sounds good, except for an occasional skip.
Okay,
but
not
as bad as it was, sir.
Not as bad as well. You know what picked it up?
What's that?
I realized that I had a 1972 version of Skype running on my computer.
Oh. You would.
Also, the house. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? Hello, Mary.
Happy Friday the 13th to everyone out there.
Exactly. Ooh. Yeah, it turns out that I was on our whole system. Well, at least for me, it runs on Skype. And I was looking, and I asked last night, I said, what the heck is going on with my Skype program? Why is it that I'm getting cut off in this whole thing? And they said, what version do you have? I said, I don't know. Is there a new one? They go, well, yeah, of course we improved it. And I looked it up, and sure enough, I found it. And I can right now, Skype has improved it so bad, I can see levels on my microphone. I can see if my computer is slowing down. I can see if I've got bad connection. It's all right there on Skype. So if I say to Skype and the people over there, thank you for stepping your game up. And I apologize for being at least 2.5 years behind you in figuring it out. We got plenty
of things. Well, I look where you've been for the last 2.5 years.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that wasn't even right, JP.
No, he's got an excuse. He's got an excuse.
That's not. I do have an excuse. That is right. I'm telling you, I came out when I found out that people would buy flat screen TVs for less than $1,000. When that happened? When that happened? It's flat screen TV for less than $500. Last time I checked, that was $2,200.
That's easy. $2,100,
$4,000,
easy.
Easy. I turned around. I'll never forget. It was 2 weeks after I got out of jail. I was in Connecticut. And they had flat screen TVs out on the street. It was a 42-inch flat screen TV. Big, giant number. A whole stack of them outside. And they were in for $4.99. I said, get out of here. That big-ass TV, you're selling it for that little price? He goes, oh, no, man, these are the old ones, man. We can get rid of them. He said, we just get rid of them, you know, for the summertime. And sure enough, people walking out there just scooping them up. So, but then again, you already knew that. But it was true to me. I felt like I was in a cave for 2.5 years. But to get all out of that rut, I have plenty of news to talk about today. Plenty, 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 plenty of news. So I got to ask you guys, just real quick, please tell me that somebody picked up on the story about who got voted the gayest city in America.
I yes, did. Indeed.
Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you why this story is important. Let me tell you why this story is important. Because I am from New York, and Mary's from New York. And any time you find out that there's a list out there that New York belongs on the top five list, it's not there, something's wrong with America. I'm telling you right now that there is something wrong with America. And when New York City cannot be the gayest city in the country, there is something wrong in America. But we have the list, don't we, folks? We have the top five gayest cities in America. And please, can somebody tell me, can we start from number five and work our way down to the grand finale, number one? Can we do that, guys?
I'm getting my list in front of me. I followed the story. I read it yesterday. I myself was shocked. So I thought for sure Provincetown, Mass. Would be there.
You thought Provincetown, Mass. Now, look, I've not been in Provincetown, Massachusetts. I didn't know that they had such a heavily gay community. But there's something important, folks. I don't want you to think that we're just sitting up here reading off the list. I'm going to get to what the most important part of this story is. It's in the third paragraph of the story that I sent to you, Mary, today. But let's read off the top five. What's number five on the list of top five gayest cities in America?
Is it number five Salt Lake City, or are they starting with Washington?
No, they're starting with one. You're going backwards. No, they're starting with one. You're going the other direction, going backwards.
So then it's Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
That's number four.
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
That's number three.
Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida, Walt Disney World. Love it! And Mickey and Minnie stay there. I knew there was something goofy going on down there. Anyway.
Now it's Mickey and Mikey.
The number one city?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
The Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, if you look
home
at that,
of the Mormons.
The home of the Mormons. Now, if you look at the criteria that made this list, like how this list was surmised, it's in the third, maybe the third paragraph of that story, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yes, the third paragraph.
Can you please read that paragraph, how they broke this down?
This formula consisted of adding up points, which were assigned to cities based on things like the number of LGBT elected city officials.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender city officials. So if you got elected and you fit in those categories, so you had to have the most of those. Salt Lake City, top of the list. Go on.
Number of WNBA teams and the number of nude yoga classes.
Wait, don't skip. Wait. The number of WNBA teams. The number of WNBA teams. You mean to tell me that a female basketball team, a professional female basketball team, was the criteria that made this list up? So, by the way, you don't know this, Mary, but you know what the WNBA stands for?
The Women's National Basketball Association.
No.
Stop
it. No. WNBA stands for We're Not Boys, right?
What does it stand for?
We're Not Boys, all right?
Whatever. What it really stands for is exactly what I said.
No. We're not boys, all right?
No. It's I.
Yeah, we may look a little masculine, but we're boys, all right?
Well, if you want to put it like that, it's we not boys, all right?
Aight.
Oh, and what was the final thing after the WNBA?
The number of nude yoga classes.
That's it. Can you believe it? This is the most ridiculous criteria I've ever heard in my entire life.
I believe it to be scientific, and I believe it to be true.
This is the scientific survey. So, hon, listen, where are we going for our holiday this year? I don't know, but you know, they just came out the top five gayest places to go, so we'll feel comfortable. Well, what do they have to offer? Well, don't forget, you know how much we love sports. The WNBA is there, girl. Ooh, I love it. Anything else that we do there? Well, you know that if we're there, they're going to have really, really strict legislation to protect us because they have the most LGBT elected officials in that town. Ooh, I love it. That's right, girl. You get your Congress on. What else there? Honey, you're going to love this. Remember how much we like going to our yoga class, right? Try this out. No clothes. What? Are you saying butt naked yoga? Oh, wow.
Nanny's optional?
Butt naked yoga. It's ridiculous. But what's driving me up the wall is the places that they are. Salt Lake City, that's the oddest out of all this. Okay, Cambridge, Mass, Massachusetts, not that stunned behind. Okay? But the one that really, really strikes me is Walt Disney World. It's Orlando, Florida. It's starting to make me think maybe there's a reason Mickey's got a high voice.
You are one sick man.
This is really sick, man. This is sick. You know, how do I put this? Let's just say, no wonder they call it the happiest place on earth. Hey.
All right.
Yeah, well, you know that in Orlando, Florida, they have like LGBT Day where, and it actually just passed a couple of months ago, a few months ago. They open Walt Disney World or Walt Disneyland, whichever it is.
It's World.
Walt Disney World. Thank you very much. They open that. They have just an LGBT Day for all LGBT.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Probably because
are you people hiding at? What rocks are you under?
Well, look, you know, it's because I don't really follow the lifestyle like that, but...
Sure.
Well, I mean, I'll have to. It's all over the place.
JC, did you just say sure?
No, I didn't say nothing, sir. Nothing at all. Remember cruising?
Yeah, I remember that. But I never cruised. Yeah, you're funny. This is just one of the most ridiculous lists. It made every newspaper I could think of. It was everywhere. It was in the Boston Herald. It was on CNN. Everyone is taking it. And this is the reason why I say it's such a joke. Because the criteria was so left field. Because that's the one part of the story that I was wondering, like, wow, how do you figure out what's the gayest town to live in? And here it was. The story gave this criteria. And I was like, how the hell did nude yoga get on the list? I mean, is that just a gay thing to be nude?
Well,
I didn't even know they had nude yoga classes. And if you're going to have nude yoga classes, you have that in Salt Lake City, Utah?
Exactly. And it gives really, really new definition to that word dog.
To what?
That's all I'm saying. That's a
what
position
shocks
in yoga.
Me about this list? What shocks me, and I think we had a conversation on this the other day, Mary and I, because we're both fans of Atlanta Housewives. Uh-huh. Atlanta came in on the list at number 9.
Yet they have
guys throughout Atlanta that look like Lawrence Taylor. I mean, that size. Big, huge, muscular guys, and they all wear high heels.
Ooh.
Walking around in 7-inch pumps and sequins tight pants.
Well, now according to this list, now we ran off the top 5. Read off. Anybody got 10 through 6?
I got 10 through 6.
What's 10 all the way down to 6?
This one shocks me. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hmm.
For its country line dancing in the Midwest.
that's
number
that's
nine, cool. As I mentioned, Atlanta, Georgia.
Everybody likes them a gay cowboy.
Yeah, why not? Brokeback, all right.
Not all of
them. Boot scooting boogie in.
Yeah, okay. What's number eight?
Number eight, Knoxville, Tennessee, for its LGBT teen support groups.
Now, that surprises me, because Knoxville, if you've ever been, I've been in Nashville and in the suburbs of Nashville and actually spent a little bit of time there, and I know that Knoxville and Nashville are, you know, a ways away, but that shocks me that Knoxville, Tennessee would make the list. They are country.
Yeah, I find that to be slightly odd. What ended up in number seven?
Number seven, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota, for its dynamic gay biz community.
Really?
Yeah.
It's striking me odd, these places, that the two places you mentioned, you know, Michigan and now Minneapolis, it sounds a little, in Minnesota. That Midwest, always, that scared me when that happens in there. So I'm still a little put off by the whole Nashville thing. But and what was number six?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Again, damn thing, same damn thing. All
where
in the Midwest.
For its lesbian nightclubs.
For its lesbians?
Yeah.
All right, time to book my tickets on Orbit. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So New York did not make top 10.
Well, but this is why. So this, okay, I know that we went over, you know, what things were based off of, how they came up with this list. But the thing that we did not mention was it was LGBT elected city officials, the number of WNBA teams, and the number of nude yoga classes. But then they go on to say that they then divided that number by each city's population. Now, the population of Salt Lake City, Utah, is only 186,440.
Okay, so there's more per capita. There's more per capita because they have a smaller population.
Exactly, and that's why all these other places that were all like, oh my God, I can't believe they made the list, because of the way that it was ranked.
Okay, it's not that far fetched. I understand. For me, it would be the gayest town based on the number of gay people that were in that town. So I would find it odd that if lists were skewed by a different criteria, New York would have to be on the top. I mean, how did San Francisco not make it on that list? How did San Francisco not have more of these services, part one, for gay people, you know, in the community? San Francisco, I would deem, is even more gay. And I'm using that term loosely, but be more gay than even New York, for that matter. And yet, it didn't even make the top 10. But you know, again,
maybe they didn't have a Miss Leather competition semifinalist. I mean, I don't know. That's another reason why Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, I mean,
that's right. Mr. Leather competition.
Well, I mean, even from 15 to 11, that's kind of shocking. So no, this, we can't rely on this for that reason alone. Well, I mean, you can't rely on this list, but somehow it's going to stick.
Yeah,
everybody picks up the story.
So we need to get into where this particular story that I have in my hand came from, because the rest of the story is rather. There's some parts in the story that's rather impressive to me as well.
Well, please, read on.
Well, okay, so we went to, let me get the website. This was on the ChristianPost.com.
Right.
So one of the ministers, hold on one second.
Are you trying to get the minister's name?
Mike Imperial, which is the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Salt Lake City, says all major cities in the U.S. have strong gay communities. He goes on to say, I don't think that you can measure whether one is more gay than the other in each population, expression, whatever, he said. But the one thing that he says about he says in this story, he goes on to say, my general approach, according to Imperial, ministering to homosexuals should be just like ministering to anyone else. In quotes, my general approach would be treat them like a human being. Show interest in interaction with their life. Describing oneself as a gay or lesbian is not totally defining their whole life. Every person every person has challenges in life, work, ambition, goals, things that make them tick, things they like to do, etc. So I find it interesting that this highly Mormon population, that this particular minister, it's amazing to me that, because most churches, you know, are not with that. They're not with the gay population. They're not with the gay community. And it's amazing to me that, you know, he goes on to say that you just want to treat people as human beings who have a life and have all the joys and concerns, successes and failures that anyone else has.
Yeah,
so,
but I get what it is that you're saying. What I find strange about all of that, what you just said was, you know, I mean, he has a very valid point. You know, there's no real way to tell who's the gayest. Like, there's no way to tell in that. This criteria, and I'm sure he's saying the same thing I'm saying, this criteria is so skewed. You know, again, the gayest place in the world almost gives an undertone that says, you know, there's a certain behavior in town that makes it gay, or a gayness, so to speak, that makes this town the gayest. I don't think that there's any town that's gay, if you get my meaning. It's no way to say what the gayest town. I hate this criteria because I'm not exactly sure whether or not I agree with the term gayest city in America. It's to me, in and of itself, sounds crazy.
Yeah, maybe they should have said friendliest gays. I don't know.
Gay friendly communities. That would probably be it. What's a gay friendly city? A city that's got the least amount of gay or, you know, anti-gay rhetoric, or, you know, doesn't have gay bashing, where more gays are socially acceptable than others. They, you know, that would probably be more scientific and would make more sense. The person who made this criteria really went out of whack. You know, okay, one of the places that I think that JC mentioned was something about the place had one of the places had a got to remember exactly how you put it. Had a place that supported gay teens. Now that makes sense. You know, in other words, there's a tolerance, as they like put it, one particular community.
Yeah, that would have been Knoxville.
Yes, so in and of itself, that makes a better criteria. I don't think in any whatsoever you want gay teens hanging out in nude yoga places.
Well, I mean, some of their reasonings for considering these cities gay, some of them seem pretty legit or more likely, more believable than others. Like, say, for example, I was just reading here, Little Rock, Arkansas,
okay.
Came number 11.
Really?
Towards many gay-friendly churches.
Little Rock, Arkansas?
Yeah, no, number 11.
Well, they got a lot of gangs in Little Rock, Arkansas. I would almost find that a little hard to believe. Little Rock, Arkansas, I mean, some of these cities, this is just...
So
know,
what are you saying, that gay people don't belong to gangs?
Well, they probably do. I don't know. As I like to refer to them as the gay mafia...
But I know I've seen some of the best ass whoopings in the world dished out by
gay
guys.
Homosexuals don't take no stuff. But you know, I think the criteria is a little warped. I mean, I personally
see
that. Because the one that really really gets me the most is the WNBA. With the exception, I mean, the most outrageous is the gay. You mean not the gay? The naked yoga classes. But WNBA, that would be in sort of place saying that the WNBA, if there are more WNBA teams in your town, then your town is probably a gayer community, as if to say that gay people are the biggest fans of the WNBA.
No. I think the point you're missing is that they're calling the WNBA, all their players, lesbians.
I hear that a little bit, too. I think they're saying that, you know, if they're a girl and you play in the WNBA, there's a strong likelihood that, you know, you are, you know, you're, okay, I'm not going to say the term because you guys didn't like it before.
Well, I mean, you've lived here
that
in Connecticut.
You like to play in the woman pool.
Listen, now you lived here in Connecticut.
Yes.
Connecticut, UConn Huskies.
Right.
Mohegan Suns.
Oh, what are they called? The Connecticut Suns, yes.
Yeah, the Connecticut Suns, not Mohegan Sun. Now, and even now, gaining a lot of attention at the University of Hartford Hawks. I mean, the convergence of women to this state for purposes of basketball. This is the female basketball capital of the world.
That
everybody's trying to get under Gina Auriemma's tutelage.
Well, I will give you that, because the first time I moved to Hartford, Connecticut, before we start our show out there, JC, I went to that sports bar that's right by the bus station / Amtrak train station.
Coaches,
right. That's exactly right. I don't remember the name of that place. Coaches, that was the first place I stopped at when I came into Hartford to sort of get a sense of the decor. So myself and Miguel, who was the co-producer, Joe, he and I both went up there. We went into Coaches, and there was the Connecticut Huskies were playing, the female basketball team was playing, and that place was rip-roaring.
Rocking.
I mean, they were rocking. They were just, and I'm sitting up and going, and I'm looking at everybody, I'm going, what are they watching? Because I knew there were no real sports on. I'm sorry, I said there was there were no real sports on. I'm wondering, are these guys cheering up to layups? Because that's all that is. That's why I don't watch female basketball. If I want to watch, an hour and a half of layups, I'll just go watch a bunch of, like high school kids play basketball. You know, I don't need to see a layup, a jump shot. I want to see dunks.
Don't hate because the ladies can play. Come on.
Please, right. I mean, they can play.
Have you ever seen a female basketball score? I'm sick and tired seeing the UConn Huskies win by a score of 56-40. I mean, what? A regular NBA game is 90-100. I'm not trying to 56-point score game. They play for the same amount of time the guys play. You know, it's 56 points. It's just a bunch of people drilling. Somebody used to do that all day.
I mean, this state is so huge in women's basketball. We get the Big East tournament here in Hartford.
You sure enough do. I don't know idea what anybody's interest is in the WNBA, but apparently the gay community love them, and God bless them, you can keep them. I'll never ever support the WNBA. Never. Never, never, never. I don't know who won a championship. I don't know who wins a championship, and I don't care. Give me real basketball, real sports all the time.
You are so ridiculous, Reese.
Only time I want to see women in sports, I want them with pom-poms in their hands and short skirts and dancing.
You pompous, sexist, arrogant. So unbelievable. Unbelievable. Get off of the ladies. Leave the ladies alone. Ladies, I got your back.
I'm not, they've got your back, whatever. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. Look, it's a serious subject because everyone seems to be outraged that the Marines who urinate on Taliban dead insurgents. And I'm here to tell you when we get back, I support them. I support you, Marines, 100%. I got your back. Now, I don't think it was really smart to urinate on them and videotape. But I understand why you didn't. Streets on the Radio, we'll be back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, we're back. It's 347-308-8701. And send us an email at freedomradio@yahoo.com or check out freedomradio.com anytime you like. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we're here, of course, Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Uh-huh. And we cover everything it is that, you know, that is in the news. Whatever's happening is happening. We're here to talk about it. We give you the news and our views. That's what we do here at Reese on the Radio. And a story that's been circulating for a little bit. Sometimes I don't like to break stories as they happen. There's a reason why. Not so that it takes me a while to get an opinion. Not that. I usually kind of, you know, I jump right at an opinion usually when I hear it. When I hear a story. And I'll give an opinion. When I give it, I'm usually spot on. I wouldn't say that I'm not right all the time. Okay? But that's just me. You'll never ever hear me back off from what it is that I believe, because I believe it. And the story that you've been hearing about all over the news is, I think it's going to be blown out of proportion. And rightly so, because that's what it is people do. They like to take certain stories and blow them out of proportion. And oh, how I love when they do. So the story is, a group of Marines were videotaped, videos showed up on YouTube, of course, with them urinating on dead Taliban insurgents that they killed. Lined them up, took out their private parts, and urinated on them. Now, I'm not exactly sure whether or not this is a violation of the Geneva Convention, but that's been sort of toiled around with. And there's some strong possibilities that the young men involved in this will be charged. Well, I got something to say. And I'm just going to say it like this. You know, those Taliban insurgents, Al-Qaeda, those violent sons of brain surgeons, they kidnap innocent reporters. They chop their heads off. Don't even chop their heads off. Because that'd be a kind thing to do to these people that they captured. No. They take a knife and they slowly slit their throats and cut them like a piece of beef when they decapitate them. They put it on videotape to show it all around the world. And those sons of bitches over at Al Jazeera, they put it right on the screen. They've shot and killed our soldiers, set them on fire, and dragged them through the streets of the sea where they were killed. And then hang them by a noose for everyone in the town to see. This is the enemy that our soldiers are out there fighting. So you know what? I commend you for coming out of your cell, leaving that protocol, and kind of say, yeah, pee on you, you piece of trash. This is what your people did to my brothers and my sisters out here on the fighting line. You're in war, you kill me, that's fine. But to desecrate my body in the fashions that you do, here's one for you. A nice little urination, buddy. Most people get coronation, you get urination. It's war, and war is hell. And what's a war if you can't get a little bit of piss on you? That's the way that I look at it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is that I'm talking about. Sometimes you're just going to have to go there. And these men are out there watching their brothers and their sisters die and get wounded, and they watch the violence and the savagery of these pieces of dog trash. That's right, dog trash. And the fact, the worst that these guys did was pull out their private parts and have a little urination party. Still much more respect than you've given the soldiers in the act of war. And that's just the way that I look at it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I ask my intrepid crew, am I out of my gourd? Or do you kind of feel the same way?
I'll let Mary go first.
Okay, so I think that I'm a little I'm a little torn on this whole situation because I can't sit here from where I'm sitting at and say that these people didn't deserve it. I'm not over there. I'm not fighting over there for my freedom. I'm here enjoying my freedom while our fellow countrymen are over there and women are over there killing and fighting for our freedom. So I won't say anything that will downplay that. But come on, did you have to put it on video and use, if you're going to do it, did you have to put it on video and YouTube it? You knew that that was not going to be looked upon favorably by anyone. And was it a good time to do that? No. It was bad all around. I'm not going to say that, oh, we should hang them and they should, you know, do the rest of their lives in federal prison, or military prison. I'm not going to say all that because I'm not over there. I don't know what their struggles are, but I can only imagine, and I don't want to imagine. I don't want to ever have to feel any of that. So I appreciate our military for being over there and fighting for our freedom every single moment of my life. But why'd you have to tape it and put it on YouTube? I mean, come on. And there's gonna be repercussions because they're gonna be made. This is gonna be set as an example. And our higher ups in the military are gonna have to do that. They're not gonna have any choice. Or there's already gonna be mayhem. There's already mayhem over it.
Well, you know,
If you're going to do it, don't tape it and put it on YouTube.
That being said, Mary, you know what? I'm going to the reason why I'm saying this right now, and I agree with where it is you're coming from. Don't put it on YouTube. There are going to be repercussions. But let me get JC's take on this. JC, what's your take on this? And then I'm going to tell you how it is that I feel this is being reported on and why I find it incredibly different than another incident that happened. But JC, what's your take on what I said?
Well, the absolute bottom line is this. They've thrown the rules of war out a long time ago.
You're talking about Al-Qaeda and Taliban.
Exactly.
That's right.
And if you call me American trash, but revenge is my middle name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And all things considered, like I just described, what it is that they've done to innocent people, reporters. What's done to innocent people who are in the
civilians.
In the front lines. You know, reporters, the way that they, you know, chop, you know, cutting their heads on live television, you know, people to watch and to celebrate, bagging a soldier's body burned and shot through the town after he died.
With 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds out there with guns clapping, cheering and eating candy as though they're at a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Death to America. Death to America. Here's something that I want to bring to both of your attention, and this is very, very strange. Anybody remember Abu Ghraib?
Cuba.
Okay. If you don't remember, let me remind you.
Cuba, correct?
Abu Ghraib was when those soldiers had. They had insurgents in prisons, and they had naked, and they were posing, and they were the attack dogs barking at them. They were making them climb on each other naked and form a human pyramid. And these pictures got out. All of these soldiers got pulled in. They ended up going to jail. Do you remember that when it happened?
Right. That was down in Cuba.
No.
Abu Ghraib?
Abu Ghraib is in Iraq.
Yeah, that was during the Iraq War.
The Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, that's what that was. Now, listen, when Abu Ghraib happened, do you know who's the first head he asked for? The first head the American public asked for was Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, they did. You're right.
They said Donald Rumsfeld was at the head of that, and he needed to be fired, and he needed to resign or something. And the Bush administration got excoriated for our soldiers being over there and what they were doing. They went all the way from the military and went all the way to the top and blamed them that they're the ones responsible, even though George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld all said that they absolutely repudiated the, anything that was happening on Top Grave. They knew nothing about it, and there's no way in the world that they ever endorse it. But they asked for that of everybody. They swung the gavel at W. Bush and the entire administration for what happened. Here's my question. Why aren't they doing that now with Leon Panetta? Why are they not doing that now? He's the defense secretary. They're asking for Panetta's head. They're not screaming at Hillary Clinton. No one's even talking, swinging the gavel. President Obama. President Obama's been in charge of the war since 2009. They're not calling for the president. They're not calling for the president to step down. They're not calling this an embarrassment for President Obama. These are the soldiers working on his watch.
Did you hear what Leon Panetta said last night?
No, what did he say?
You know, he said something to the fact that I can't remember his exact words, but he was not happy with the situation and that he was definitely going to have this investigated and this issue would be rectified immediately.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody downplayed during the Bush administration when Abu Ghraib took place. Nobody downplayed. Nobody said that they were making mountain of molehills. No one said that. They immediately dealt with it and those people were brought to justice. They immediately were. So what I'm asking is, where is the reaction in the press against this administration the way that they did against George W. Bush? That's all I'm asking. Because I'm not hearing that at all. I think this administration is getting a pass when they normally wouldn't. They normally wouldn't get a pass. See, this is what I'm talking about, the protection of this presidency and everyone involved. Leon Panetta should have been asked to step down, or at least resign the same way Donald Rumsfeld was asked to step down. That he was an embarrassment. And you look it up anywhere online, you'll find those stories. The press completely vilified that administration. And if the tone has changed, the way that President Obama has claimed, if policies have changed the way that we behave in war, how could this possibly happen? Somebody's got to pay, right?
Well, it may not be that is something that we as the good guys don't do. It's not the image that we want to leave the world with.
Well, you know, they made this argument, JC, this is not going to win the hearts and minds of those people, and this is only going to be used as a recruiting tool for Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Exactly.
No. That's bogus.
No. I'm saying they would use those images. They would use those images to incite anger amongst the youth that follow them now, to incite them into joining Al-Qaeda and the Taliban.
Are you under the impression that there are not people who in those countries that already hate America?
Of course not.
Okay. Now, I know for a fact that out of all the Muslim nations, right, all the Muslim nations, that radical fundamentalists make up 7 million of the Muslim population. That's it. That's the number. 7 million. That's the war they're fighting. Armed soldiers are out there fighting 7 million radical fundamentalists. That's the number. Do you think that urinating on 4 guys is going to be used as a recruiting tool? There already was a recruiting tool. They've been bombing for years. They've been attacking civilized countries for years. What do you think that some poor guy urinating on some Taliban insurgents is going to change the mindset that's already there?
No, it's not going to change the mindset.
I don't think it's going to change the mindset, but it's going to make things worse.
Right.
It's not even that it's going to make things worse. It's just going to give them another excuse.
Well, it's kind of hard to make things worse. It's kind of hard to make things worse when, I mean, these are people that don't mind strapping themselves with bombs, killing themselves to kill 2 or 3 other people.
That's what I'm saying. They don't care who they kill. They don't care who it is that they kill. Kill their own.
Yeah, all in the name of what, I think it's 17 virgins?
Yeah, it's 73 or 72 virgins. I mean, come on. I mean, they're trying to say that they're trying to win hearts and minds. Nobody's trying to win hearts and minds. That's not war. War is not about winning hearts and minds. That's not the definition of war. The definition of war is you go there and you beat those people down till they can't afford any more casualties.
Yeah, so turn it into a parking lot.
That's right. Turn the place into a parking lot. What do you think Hiroshima was about? Winning hearts and minds? What do you think? We dropped that A-bomb on there and they're just like, wow, America must love us. No, hell no.
Solved our parking problem.
Exactly. They went out there and they bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they turned around and said, this is definitely not a love note. And what did they do? They laid down their arms. All right, listen, listen, I get it. Don't drop another one. We surrender. Okay? I get it. I'm sorry. But now we're
There is too much vested business-wise and otherwise for America to go over there and just do that.
They
probably would like to.
What do they have that we need? What do they have?
Don't say oil.
What do you think?
I'm not going to say oil.
What do they have? They got. What do you think? They got oil? You think they got poppy seeds? Is that what it's worth? See, people forget. The reason why we went over there was to free people from a dictatorship. And
you didn't go over there to free nobody from no dictatorship. Come on now.
Are you kidding
me? You think that America really cares that much about, I mean, and why would we go over there? If they're not over here messing with us, why would we go over there messing with them? They want to, what?
Mary.
This guy, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Killed almost more than 1 million of his own people simply because they didn't believe in the same God he believed in.
Okay, and I know that. I'm aware of that.
He had to be dealt with.
But there is an underlying reason. We're not just going to go over there and spend billions of dollars and let hundreds and thousands of our soldiers get killed just because we want to help these people.
Well, we didn't have hundreds of thousands. We had thousands. Let's talk about that for a little bit, Mary. As I say, 1,000 times over. In 2001, the United States received 639 barrels a day of oil from Iraq. That is what we were getting from Iraq in oil supply. 639 barrels a day. We started a war with them in 2003, May of 2003. In 2009... Right? 2009, United States received. Remember, we took down Saddam Hussein in 2000. What? When did we take him down? 2004? 2005? I apologize. December of 2004. When we got rid of Saddam Hussein, it was December 13th to be exact. We took him down. Since that time, at this point, the United States received 430 barrels of oil a day out of Iraq. So when people talk about we occupied, we got more oil before we went in and got less after we went in and got rid of this ruthless dictator. So this argument about we went there for oil is a farce.
But I never said that. I never said we're going there to get that oil.
Federal consensus.
There has to be something else. We are not taking care of our own right here. I mean, we do in a way, but there are things that need to be done in this country. Why are we going to other countries fighting other people's fights? You don't want to live under dictatorship, then you fight your own fight. Don't let our innocent people, our innocent kids and brothers and fathers and sisters and mothers and so forth go over there to fight a fight that is not ours in the first place.
That's not our fight.
Mary. I don't mean to keep cutting you off, Reese, but I kind of love this argument. We're talking about people who are dead set on the destruction of this country. Who, again, like I said earlier, people that wouldn't mind strapping a bomb to themselves to kill two or three people. We're talking about people that had nuclear ambitions to achieve nuclear weaponry that wouldn't have that, would push that button to bomb our major cities faster than they would to pick up a phone and dial a pizza shop if they were hungry.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. So if there are so many of those people over there,
that's protecting our interests.
Why don't we just go over there and incinerate all of them?
Well, that would be inhumane.
That's inhumane.
It's inhumane to kill them and then stand around and pee all over them and see who's going to pee in whose mouth first. It's probably what they're doing, because that's what I was imagining when I saw
the video. Well, you know, see, here's the thing. It's a different war today. See,
and you know what? And I don't mean to cut you off, Reese.
That's all right.
I'm going to back off after this. She's thinking from a woman's point of view.
I know she is. And women are just so sensitive to war. But I got to tell you, Mary, these people aren't fighting a conventional war. These people hide in villages where innocent people are. Even Hamas, you take Hamas, the way that they fire into, you know, they fire at the Gaza Strip to Israel. They're firing from schools, firing from villages where normal people and regular people live. You can't go and bomb those places back. If you bomb a school after you've been attacked from a school by Hamas, you're going to be called the villain. So we're fighting a very, very unconventional war. We're talking about people who use their own to fight battles. They use babies, children, and women. They use them as human shields to fight their war, like cowards. They don't go out there and fight on the front line. They hide in secret.
I understand that, but what is the ratio? What is the ratio between innocent and not innocent?
There is. The ratio between innocent and not innocent is the gun, the grenade launcher, or the bomb strapped around the chest. That's the ratio, and those who don't have those. That's the ratio. In this particular case, you don't know who that is. This is the only time. See, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, they don't wear conventional uniforms like we do.
No.
They don't walk around like soldiers. In other words, that we fought. The Viet Cong, they wore uniforms. The Koreans, during the Korean War, they wore uniforms because they were part of the military. But the Taliban has no military. They're insurgents. They wear
everyday clothes.
Yeah, they wear robes and scarves.
Yeah, but there were innocent people killed in Vietnam. There were innocent people killed in every war that we've ever been to.
Yeah, there were casualties of war.
And there are always casualties of war. You're absolutely right. That's, again,
that's expected.
This is again, what
so
I'm talking
go
about.
Go and incinerate, lay it flat, and you won't have to worry about all this other crap.
So you're talking
and
about
I'm not
just,
saying, and I'm not saying that I'm for killing innocent people, because in no means am I for that. I'm not. I don't believe that you should kill other people. I don't think that is our place. We are no one's maker, so you should not be anyone's taker. That is just how I feel. But I also want to continue to live my life in freedom. So unfortunately, I cannot be against our military going over there and fighting for our freedom. I can't be against that. But are they're over there fighting for our freedom. They're not over there fighting for anybody else's freedom. Do you think that...
I just beg you.
Go ahead.
I just disagree. I just disagree with you. We'll take a break. We'll come to the top of the hour. We got more news, when we come back. It's Reese on the radio. I'll stick around.
what's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we're back at Three Sun Radio, top of the hour. It is 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. On this January 13th, 2012, Friday the 13th, and the end of the week, last show of the week. I hope you guys have a great week again. I'm hoping for TiVo to have a game on Sunday. It's going to be cold up in Foxborough. I'm going to be there. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be there. But I'll be in front of that TV. All snuggled and warm. Drinking Coors Light. Whatever. I'm just going to enjoy the game. Plenty of news and views to talk about today. We got plenty of stuff going on today. You know, I'm going to get into this story in a little bit. I'm not going to get into it now. I'm actually going to push it back. As I always say, it's racism every day on Reese on the Radio. JC found me a great site, found me two great sites that are just dedicated to racism.
I loved it.
I was on that site, man. I was on that site, man. Like, an addiction had just...
It is addicting, isn't it?
An addiction overwhelmed me when I saw that. I went, I am there. By the way, I got a surprise for you guys. I might as well tell you now. I am 50% close, folks, on Monday. I really, really hope you guys tune in. I'm 50% close. Tune in on Monday right here on Reese on the Radio at 7 p.m. I am this close to getting Miss Jodi Kantor, the writer of the book, The Obamas, on the show. I'm 50% close. That's right, folks. Everything happens here, right here on Reese Radio. I told you, this book has really, really brought something out of me. And I don't know where James Montgomery is today, but I'm hoping that he's here on Monday to be a part of this. But, yeah, I made some phone calls, talking to some people, and I'm going to see whether or not I can get Jodi Kantor to call in during the show. If not, I'll call her sometime in the afternoon. I'll do either a pre-interview with her, and I'll record it and play it on the show, or I will get her live on the air. But I want to see if I can get her after business out. But if I can't, I'll get her in the afternoon because she's swamped with a bunch of interviews all over the place. Everyone wants to talk to her because the book has, you know, become such a controversial book. But I'm not going to talk to her about Michelle Obama. And I'm not going to talk to her about, you know, the Obamas and the secret Halloween party. That's not important. I want to talk to Jodi Kantor about one thing, and that is how she feels about the public backlash behind writing this book, which I think is, can you guys agree with that? That's probably the more relevant story.
Right.
Exactly.
The fact that she's getting this backlash for her peers, I find even more reprehensible. I don't know if you guys saw the interview that Soledad O'Brien, who's been really critical of Jodi Kantor, I watched it on CNN today, and Jodi Kantor didn't get one sentence out. Like, Soledad O'Brien ran the whole interview, like, really ran over her, like a freight train. She never got to answer one question. Never. You got to see yourself. It's amazing. And they put it up on CNN. I would have never, ever done that, because Soledad O'Brien looks really, really unprofessional in this thing, so... You have to see it. Soledad O'Brien takes a personal stake in protecting the Obamas. It's the way she is ripping Jodi Kantor apart and Jody Cantor isn't even allowed to defend her. So every time she opens her mouth, Soledad Dad talks over. Just talks right over. You never hear what Jody Cantor says. It wasn't even an interview. It was Soledad O'Brien pontificating about what she felt, you know, that Jody Cantor had done to the president and his. And so that's why I believe that. I mean, that's the conversation I want to have with her. So you know, when we are on the phone, I will definitely talk to her about that. Another story that everyone's talking about, as I just mentioned at the top of the hour, is Tim Tebow. And I don't know whether or not you caught this, Mary, but have you been catching the really mean-spirited things that people have been saying about Tim Tebow?
I've heard a couple of things here and there, but
Charles Barkley called him the national nightmare. People are talking about how they're sick of Tebow mania. And it's all directed towards Tebow. And my question is what did he do? I mean, the guy starts press conferences with saying, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he talked about him. He makes a good play, gets down on his knee. He does a little thing that now is being referred to as Tebowing. But that was his thing. He's always done that. I don't know. Why are people hating on him when it appears to be everyone else who's creating the hysteria about Tim Tebow? In other words, here's a guy just doing what it is that he does. He's just being him. And people are collecting his behavior and turning it into mania. I mean, isn't that exactly what's going on? Tim Tebow isn't out there doing all the stuff that everybody else is making him to be. He's just playing a game. And media is creating the frenzy. So people are calling him the national nightmare, like Charles Barkley did. I think it's unwarranted. I think they're using him as some sort of reason to, you know, some disrespect. And Tebow's probably sitting there just going, like, what did I do? Like, I just did what it is that I did. I thank Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when I give my press conference. And then I talk about the game. I'm not standing out there having prayers before every down.
And like you said before, a lot of players, after they make a good play, they, you know, do the sign of the cross and kiss up to God. So
point their fingers
up.
Yeah, you're right. They do the same thing. But they say he's overdoing it. My thing is, what are you doing? He's not doing anything. He gets down on one knee and he thanks God. He's only giving God the glory. Give God the glory. I have nothing without you, my Lord. That's it. So what? I mean, what's calling it Tebow mania? There's no Tebow. The mania is created by everybody else, not Tim Tebow. It's sort of like we used to say. We used to say, "Get off my jock." That's what we used to say back in the days. You know, you think I'm so amazing. You know, stop sweating me. And that's what I think. That's what the media is doing. They're sweating Tim Tebow. Tebow's just being who he is naturally, and he's getting all the flack for everyone. Like, it's almost like people are angry that people like Tebow. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, what do you like him for? And instead of going after the people who are going crazy about him, you attack the man. Man did nothing.
Well, I don't understand why they don't like him, why people don't like him in the first place. He went out there, he goes out there, he plays his games. When he makes a win, he makes a win. Other quarterbacks do that all the time. So,
and they put this thing about God into it. That where did it come from? He didn't put anything about God. He didn't told anybody God plays the game for me. He didn't go out there and say God made sure we got a win. He didn't say I prayed to God for God could give me a chance to beat the beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is
and he probably did
season.
Pray to God that he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what is the big deal?
Oh,
he prays to God.
Exactly. But again, saying that you know, they're creating a false premise about God. And, you know, then when he fails, just like anybody else does, he's a man, then we're ridiculing him about, looks like God ain't really on your side there, Tebow. And I think that's what it's about. It's about all that. It's telling people, yeah, all that praying, man, ain't nothing. Yeah, what you doing all that praying for? God ain't listening to you. God don't care about you. What, you think you're special? What, you think you got God's beeper number? You ain't nobody. God ain't just looking out for you. You ain't special. That's all this is. You ain't special. And that's all it is. They don't want him to be special. They hate that anybody is making him special in some sort of way. Look at you getting all this attention. You ain't nobody. You ain't Tom Brady. You ain't Ben Roethlisberger. You ain't Michael Vick. You're just Tim Tebow. You're just a fourth-string quarterback who's getting a little bit of shine. You ain't nobody. And that's all it is putting him down. And if when he loses, that's what they do. They keep putting him apart. Keep ripping him apart. See? That's proof right there. See, God don't love you. He don't love you any different than he loves me. And it's
we all know that evil is everywhere. It's always peeking out at you, trying to get at you.
That's what they're saying. That's exactly what it is they're saying. That's what it is that you're hearing. What you're hearing is that jealousy. That here this guy, he won't budge. And they're angry that he won't budge, Mary. He won't budge. That he won't come around to their side. Come on, T.O. Come on, man. Get it together. You ain't
sell
special.
Sell your soul to me, brother.
Sell your soul, T.O. Come on. All that God stuff ain't real, is it? Can't be real. You just a man. You ain't got no line. You ain't got no line to God. You just a man. You ain't nobody.
But he never said he had a line to God. You know, so that's the most ridiculous part of it all. He's not saying that he's special and he's the chosen one and, you know, he's just playing a game.
Right. And giving thanks
to where he believes that it should go to.
Yes, exactly. He's saying, without God, I'm nothing. You know, when I do good things like that, that's God. That is all from God. He's giving the glory. That's what he's doing, as he should. As those people in the Christian faith do. And that's what they hate about him. It's just that he won't just say, hey, you know, I'm just a guy. I'm just Tebow. You know, I'm a guy. I play the game. Some days I'm good. Some days I'm bad. But because he's so nice and he didn't curse or chew bubble gum. I don't know if he does.
And I'm not getting no booty.
Exactly. Why you got to be pure? We don't need you. We hate pure people. Come on, man. We need a little dirt on you. Come on, man. You smoke a bong? Huh? Come on, ever smoke a bong? Huh? You ever told the girl she meant yes when she said no? Huh? Come on. Come on. I know it. Come on, Tebow. Come on. Tell me an impure thought. Come on.
Come on over to the other side. The other side is a brighter place
come
to be.
Come on, Tebow. Ain't your head to temptation, Tebow? Don't you? Come on, man. Drink this beer over here, man. Come on, man. I got Schaefer beer right here, dude. Come on, man. Take a sip. Don't you want to have some of this? Mad Dog 2020. What, I got Wild Irish Rose. You want a sip, don't you? Come on, even the Lord drink wine. Come on, man.
And once they do find any little speck of dirt on him, they are going to blow it up.
Exactly. They're going to find out that people got a park. They can see he does not have Jesus with him running red lights. Come on, Tebow. Come on. Man. Come on. Even Jesus turned water to wine. Come on. it ain't good for your heart. But whatever, man. Come on. Just have it. That's all they want. They just want him to fall. They need him to fall, and he is so, you know, for him to be the way that he is and just be so genuine and so kind and a good guy, you know, meets the little kids with cancer, the little disabled kids with MS, meets the kids with debilitating diseases, and he gives them a hug, and he touches them, and he prays with them. God believes in you, and if God calls you home, please tell God that, you know, Tim Tebow's down here praising his name. And I'm with you. I'm with you, young child. I care for you. Do you like the game? Did you have a good time? You want a good beat? What do you want, a hot dog? Come on over here. Get down on one knee. Pray with me, please. Pray with me, please. The Lord is my Savior. I said, I'm not want. That's what he's doing. Instead of him going out there going, hey, what's up, baby? What's up? What's up? All right. That's your mom? What's up? She married? I was like, yeah, what's up with her? Yeah. Well, would you like Tebow to be your daddy? He's not doing that.
Maybe they feel like he's in the wrong profession. Maybe he should try to be a pastor or something. Maybe he'll get more good things for him if he's a pastor or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But then again, I mean, we're talking about the NFL. People are not used to that. They're not used to people being pure. And, well, I mean, but you don't – there's other quarterbacks that you don't hear bad things about, but you don't – you know, you don't see them getting down on one knee. I've never heard anything bad about Eli Manning. He's never gotten in any trouble that I know of. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't get in any trouble.
That is
and they do well,
true.
But nobody's hating on them.
Yeah, exactly. But again, as soon as you bring God into the equation, people have this uneasiness and this vitriol that comes out. Just got breaking news from Jay-Z, about Jay-Z over the wire from JC. JC, please come on. I'd like to discuss this with you. I don't know whether or not this is breaking news, but I kind of find it hypocritical. I got 99 problems with a bitch ain't one is now denouncing the bitch word.
You didn't read that anywhere today?
I didn't see that anywhere today.
Oh my god.
Probably because I don't read Jigga News.
It's the talk of the nation.
Is it really? Break this down for me. So he's decided because he has a daughter that he is no longer going to call women bitches.
Exactly. He's denounced it. In song.
Really?
He was in, reportedly he was in a studio the day his daughter was born, and he wrote a song for his daughter. And in that song, he denounced it.
I heard in that song, yeah, I heard some of the things talking about Beyonce's miscarriage and stuff like that. But now, this I find extremely hypocritical. Because did Jay-Z never think that he would have a daughter? And is he suggesting now that had he not had a daughter, he would still be calling women bitches?
I mean, not to sound harsh, he now has one of his own that he's made millions and millions off of.
Yeah. Well, why didn't he? Well, exactly. He got married to a woman. Why didn't he denounce it?
Well, that's just it. Why didn't he denounce it when he got married? Was Beyonce a bitch up until he had a daughter?
I guess women still bitches when he married one.
They're divorceable.
Were there any other terms that he's going to denounce or that he's not going to use anymore?
Well, what is he going to happen?
Just talking about the B word.
Well, what's he going to do when he has a son? He's going to stop using the N word?
For real.
What's it going to take for him to get? What does he have to do in order to stop using the N word?
And do you know that his daughter's name spelled backwards spells out the I was reading this yesterday or the day before yesterday. His daughter's name spelled backwards is Satan's daughter's name.
Stop lying. Hold on.
I promise you, I'm not lying.
You have Hold on. Hold on now. See, I'm definitely looking this up now.
Look it up, because I believe it was yesterday that I read it.
No, that doesn't even make any sense.
But somebody, I'm telling you, I read it.
No, it doesn't.
I didn't say it made sense.
So wait a minute, do you have to spell it Blue Ivy backwards, or do you spell Ivy backwards and then Blue backwards, or did it Blue backwards first and then Ivy backwards first?
I don't remember in which way it was spelled.
I'm going to see it the other way. Let me see if I can do it this way. This is Blue backwards. Hold on. LB and Ivy backwards is YVI. That doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
But I'm looking this up.
Yeah, it does.
Stop lying.
I told you.
Yeah, it does. Hold on. No. Wait.
You guys are scaring the hell out of me right now.
Listen.
It's Friday the 13th.
Blue Ivy. is evil backwards Latin for Lucifer's daughter. Now, I'm reading that. I don't know if that was made up. I'm not sure if it's made up or not. I'm not sure where we looked that up at.
What do you mean evil? Where'd you get evil?
I'm just reading what's up there.
It's in Latin.
I'll get it. Evil
blue
backwards.
Ivy spelled backwards is a I guess a Latin is the way that the Latin languages refers to Satan's daughter.
Oh, that's just now this man.
Satan's daughter's name, rather.
Do not believe the internet. Daisy did not name his child the devil's daughter backwards.
Listen, if it's written on the internet, I believe it. Hey, Reese, let me take you back.
Okay.
I don't know if it went on in any other part of the country, but it's a little off subject, but it has to do with hip-hop still.
Okay.
Back when Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh, Get Fresh Crew.
Right.
The show.
Yes.
It was believed at that time that they were saying that Dougie Fresh himself was a
devil
worshiper.
Yes, the devil. They said he was a devil worshiper.
Okay, so they did have that going on in other parts of the country.
Well, yeah. What people used to say was that when Dougie Fresh after he and Slick Rick broke up, they said that Dougie Fresh made a deal with the devil because his entire career took a like this. It literally
nosedive.
Well, it nosedived. Then afterwards, he got this second chance, and he was all over the place. Dougie Fresh's name became big again, and he had a hit single. He had a hit album. But if you listen to Dougie Fresh's album that came out when, you know, he started to, you know, All the Way to Heaven, he was
okay.
he was prophesizing about, you know, about Jesus Christ, about God in heaven. So he was never, ever talking about devil or devil worshiping.
Well, how come in a show, okay, in a show, because, I mean, this scared the hell out of me as a teenager. In a show, it was always 6 minutes, 6 minutes, 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on.
Yes, 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 yes. It's nothing to do with, yes.
But no. Let me tell you.
I
used to have, my mom, I didn't, my dad used to have one of those old stereos that can play in reverse.
Oh, yeah, everybody, yes, I know, I had them
too. Oh, Lord.
So you're saying that, what song was that? It was,
The show.
Playing
it was the show.
You heard I Love Satan, right?
What's that?
Was it I Love Satan when you play it backwards?
No. What I heard sounded like, said something like Jesus was a little bastard or something like that.
Oh, stop it.
I kid you not. I have a friend of mine. We used to listen to it together. He's a celebrity chef down in Atlanta, Georgia. He used to be Diddy's chef down at Justin's. And he's now got his own television show in Atlanta called Celebrity Stovetops.
Nice to know.
I know, Stovetop with Celebrities.
It's nice that he was able to keep a career after working with Puffy. Because it's very rare.
Hey, listen. He's also a personal chef to Jimmy Carter.
All right, now I already hate this guy, but go on.
But as kids, we used to listen to it backwards. And we were recorded. And we used to distribute the tape because we then went on our own little crusade as teenagers to destroy Dougie Fresh.
Listen, if anything, when you play rap music backwards, it sounds worse. That's all it is. There's no such thing. I understand the theory, but there's no truth to that story. Don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit.
We're
getting
back to Blue Ivy.
Now, look,
I want to look into this further tomorrow. I'm going to research this all over the weekend, I should say.
Research it. See if you can get anything during the break. She's a hypocrite, but I've always said that.
If you go to my Facebook page, someone actually posted something on my Facebook page about it. So if you go to my Facebook page, you should see it on there because it was just posted on there. I believe it was yesterday.
All right, I'll look at it myself. Somebody's gonna have to give me better proof in this theory. I want to see the Latin word for Satan's daughter. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. Number is 347-308-8701. I haven't even given that number all day. 347-308-8701. Reese on the radio at Blog Talk. Radio.com. Check us out. When we come back, racism all day on Reese Radio. This is a great story, just for one reason. A civil lawsuit against a woman in Cincinnati, Ohio, is going to stand up because she accused a little girl of making her swimming pool cloudy because of the chemicals in her hair.
Wait, say that again?
A woman in Cincinnati, Ohio, accused a little girl of making the swimming pool in her complex cloudy because the little girl is an biracial girl who may have had black chemicals in her hair, you know, Negro hair care products in her hair, and caused the pool to be murky.
Oh, my God.
But no, she even went further than that. We'll tell the story when we come back.
I found what I was telling you about. You want to go to break first?
No. Do it now. We'll go to the. Tell me what it is.
Okay, Beyonce gives birth. Is blue eye? Okay, this is how you spell it backwards. It's E-U-L-B, and then Y-V-I, Latin for Lucifer's daughter. January 8, 2012. Charisse Van Horn reporting. On January 8, 2012, ABC News reported that Beyonce and husband Jay-Z welcomed a baby girl named Blue Ivy. I can't see the rest of the story, but that is how you spell it, and it is Latin for Lucifer's daughter.
Okay,
and it
so
was reported on ABC News.
Hmm. Well,
I'm looking for that one.
E-U-L-B, and then Y... V-I.
Exactly.
All right. Look this up. I'm going to try to look it up on my computer and see whether or not there's any truth to this. This looks ridiculous. I don't believe it one bit. And I'm not a fan of Jay-Z. And I can't believe I'm actually standing up for the guy. I cannot believe it. I think that this is a smear campaign on Jay-Z. It got to be. It's on the radio. We'll be back.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion. But I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. We're on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And give us a call at 347-308-8701. A live call-in show if you're listening in. If you have an opinion, please call up. I know a lot of people don't do that. They're a little too shy. So people do. I can understand it. I don't take offense that you don't call. It's all right with me. Anyway. I just looked up this story that the guys just mentioned to me about this whole Blue Ivy thing. All right, I'm not going to say that it's a reliable source. JC just sent me, a link to where the story is. I'm not going to get a chance to really look at it right now on my screen. But I will tell you. I will be looking at this a little further. I think I have to. It's all right. They're going to tell me in a little bit what it is that they got from what Jay-Z looked at and see if he was able to find anything on it. JC, yeah, you find anything on this or other?
No.
I just know.
No. The closest headline that I've come close to it so far was on ABC Action News.
Okay, how about this? From what I just read on the website that I just looked at, that the source that they're claiming is making the hoopla about the Blue Ivy spelled backwards. I can't believe I'm saying this. I didn't hear them spelling her name backwards, meaning the door of state. So I don't know if there is any success. I'm skeptical, as usual. But you know, what can you possibly say? I think there's any truth to this. Mary, do you believe it at all?
I don't know. I can't say that I do or I don't. All I'm saying is that I've read a little excerpt from wherever the story came from, and it was on examiner.com.
Okay. All right, well, my connection is actually a little slow, guys, so if I'm breaking up, that's it's due to my connection. I just fixed it. I'm back on. I've got an indicator that tells me whether or not my connection is high or low on Skype, so when I see it, and it just went red, so I apologize. I know I just broke up. So as soon as I see that, I always check it out to make sure it doesn't happen again. So we don't know whether or not – did anybody bother to look up whether or not that is Satan's daughter name?
No, I haven't found that yet. I'll tell you what, I'm going to spend the entire weekend. Well, I'm not going to spend the entire weekend, but if it's out there, I will find it.
I know you will, JC. JC's into that entertainment stuff. He's into that stuff real, real hardcore. I can't do it.
And another quick one, and I know we got stuff we want to get to. We want to get to your story about the pool. But while looking for the Jay-Z information, looking up what ABC News had reported, they reported our old friend, 50 Cent.
Oh, really?
Took a shot at Jay-Z and his daughter.
No.
Yeah.
I sent you a couple links.
You've got to be kidding me. 50 would do that. I mean, I know he can be ruthless, but please, you tell me what it is that 50 said, because he's got a slick mouth, man. He's got a slick mouth.
Listen, it wasn't what he said. It's the pictures that he had photoshopped and released.
Oh, I saw that. Was that really him? He did that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He tweeted it.
Oh,
yeah, he tweeted it.
It's war!
Oh my gosh. As if he didn't have enough with Rick Ross.
Oh, man. Now he's going after Jigga.
Well, we know Jigga won't be calling him the B-word.
Yeah, well, at least. Oh, I can't wait. That's it. I got nothing else to say. I'm going to check out that.
I'm going to stay as far away from New York City as I can.
Yeah, hell yeah. I think I'm going to have to do that. I mean, the brothers might be looking for retaliation.
Oh, please. You already know.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bad.
Because that's something you don't mess with folk and they chilling.
Just can't do it, man. Just can't do it.
You don't mess with folks and they chilling.
You know, hey, listen, you know, I said it 1,000 times as my former colleague, you know, pulled the stunt. Very, very similar to that, man. I say it every day, you know, and I've said it on the air plenty of times. You know, leave my kids out of it. They're not in the spotlight, you know. I mean, unfortunately for Jay-Z, Beyonce, they kind of did put their child in the spotlight, but, you know, it's still off limits, man. The children are always off limits. And, you know, it's an unwritten rule, man. It's just off limits. And speaking of children being off limits, so apparently this story of Cincinnati, Ohio, has finally come to terms. It happened a couple years back, and a breakdown of the story pretty much works like this. A family that lived in a housing complex, not a housing complex, the conventional ones. It's, you know, you have those places that have a community pool or whatever these might be. So the landlord of this place had a pool, and she, in the pool in the complex, she put up a sign that said, swimming pool, white only. Now,
no.
Now, on the swimming in the swimming pool, they had the sign, swimming pool, white only. A young man and his daughter, and apparently the young man was in an interracial relationship, they had a biracial daughter, and apparently the daughter, it can be alleged that the daughter had kinky hair. And the question arose when they went to the birthday party that was inside this pool, that the landlord who put up the sign had confronted the father and asked the father, I guess, after the daughter had attended the pool party or had come out of the pool, it happened after it came out of the pool. And I apologize if my information is sketchy, but I'm certain it was after she got out of the pool. The landlord, this woman, had accused the daughter of making the pool water murky, or cloudy for that matter. Murky is the best word to use. And was questioning the father about the hair products the little girl puts in her hair, suggesting that those hair care products were the cause of the murky water. What made this even worse was that, I guess days after, even weeks after, the landlord continuously text messaged the father about the hair care products and continued to bash the little girl about her hair and damaging the pool water. Now, these people lived in that community and soon moved out because of the harassment. They, of course, took a photo of this swimming pool white only sign, and the woman was sent to court for violating anti-discrimination laws. Her excuse, for lack of a better one, said that she found the sign at some nostalgic place, some antique place, and she put it up because she thought that it was, you know, an interesting antique sign. And hung it up in a public place. And yeah. So she had tried to get the ruling overturned that she had violated the law, but the law is being stood, you know, they're going to stand by their ruling, and the woman will now have to face civil litigation. Now, I like this story for several reasons. One, because it's racist. The most important part. I love it because it's racist. And if you want to get my attention, you bring me the most racist story you have, even if it's personal. You can email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. I don't care what kind of person you are. If you're a white person and you experience racism, I want to hear that too. The more racist, the more I love it. Now, the second part that interests me about this story is... How small was the pool? Because it would have had to have been small for a little girl's greedy hair to make it murky.
That's my question.
Wait.
Was this a kiddie pool?
Let me get to my third question. My third question is, which parent was black, which parent was white? And most importantly, what was the hair care products in the little black girl's hair? Were there any hair care products? I want to know. I want to know whether or not, because I'd like to do an experiment. Got to put new Nile in my hair. Got to put some Ultrine. What can I put in my hair? Some beeswax. What can I put in my hair? What do we Negroes use in order to make water murky in a pool that chlorine can eat up and kill? What industrial strength hair care products is this little black girl, interracial, two-tone girl, using that would murky a swimming pool? Is this woman an idiot? And what was your question, Jason?
I say pink protection.
Oh, the pink protection. That's that stuff. That stuff looks like Pepto Bismol, but it smells like baby oil.
And it attracts bees.
It does?
Yes.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on. How are you going to say that this little girl made the pool water murky? It's got chlorine in it.
Let me answer your second question. I think it was your second question.
Yes.
Who in the past, who was black and who was white?
Yes.
I guarantee you the daddy was white, because I guarantee you she was not texting or questioning no black mother about what hair care products her daughter had in her hair.
You know what? I have to admit, Mary, you're spot on. Very perceptive. Because if some white woman was texting some black chick about hair, you don't mess with no black woman's hair. Oh, look at me going to the stereotype. I went right to the stereotype. You don't.
It's not even you don't mess with the black woman's hair. You don't mess with her child. And maybe you don't mess with any mother's child, but.
Come on. You think some white woman's going to text a black woman about her child's hair? What kind of hair?
I beg to differ.
Go ahead, JC. What do you mean you beg to differ?
My children are mixed.
Pardon?
And I know, I would say that the mom was white and the dad was black because you don't find too many white women that can do black kids' hair.
She could
so why not
do
boop it up?
Well, maybe she was using a product that shouldn't have been used in her hair, and that's why it made the water murky.
Well, we have no evidence the water was murky.
Yeah, right. Other than the testimony of
the statement of the landlord said that.
But I'm sure that had the mom been black, that little girl would have the most she'd have in her hair is sulfur or maybe some of that Vaseline.
No,
her
not
hair
relax-
would have been done.
Some no lie relaxer in there. I don't know.
You got me there.
I don't know these black women hair products. All I know is that they wear weaves. I don't know what they put in their hair.
I say that because all my daughter's school pictures, because my daughter's mom was white, I did her hair for her school pictures.
Really?
Because her mom couldn't do it.
Well, why didn't she learn how to do it?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I don't understand that. How do you not know how to do your child's hair?
You know the ex?
Yes, I do.
She's got pretty straight hair.
Yeah.
You see my daughter's hair.
Yeah.
Brillo?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. That's just something that you grow into.
Don't say Brillo.
Nobody cares like Brillo.
Well, who's here not like Brillo?
Brillo is a very derogatory term for Negro hair.
Yeah, nobody's hair really feels like Brillo.
Oh, what should I say, like wool?
Yes, there you go.
No, and it doesn't feel like wool either.
To the scalp of Christ.
Some people's hair is more coarse than others, that's all.
Which is odd because I have a very, very, very good grade of hair. You wet my hair and it looks like I've got a curly kit.
All I feel bad about the little girl is that she was subjected to that kind of cruelty, which was ridiculous.
I want to know why this white woman, landlady, pool Nazi, went into the courtroom and tried to say, "Oh, I only hung that sign as decor."
What are you talking about? That's exactly what she's claiming. It was just decor. Like, she didn't think anybody in a public place was going to say, "White, oh, what the hell is that?" I mean, it's absolutely...
She might as well have painted a Confederate flag on the bottom of the pool and hung a noose up there with it. I'm sure you can find that at a nostalgic shop.
And maybe she should have been contacting whoever her pool contractor was and asking them why the pool was obviously not working if the water was murky.
Yeah.
What was going on, and have somebody come clean the pool and have them check the chlorine level.
Couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
We're talking Cincinnati.
It doesn't matter.
Don't blame it on the little girl. Blame it on the pool boy.
What's that?
Don't blame it on the little girl. Blame it on the pool boy.
This isn't some backwoods town. This is Cincinnati, Ohio. I mean, this place is, we're not talking
well,
about, you
Cincinnati,
know, some podunk.
But parts of Cincinnati, Ohio is backwards.
And I didn't think our neighbors to the south made it that far north.
Well, I don't know. I only thing I'm saying is that it's sad enough that the little girl had to deal with that kind of ridicule, but the woman is a complete moron, and I do mean moron, for putting stupid sign in this day and age, knowing that, you know, it's nothing surprises me anymore But with stupid racism, I can't help but sort of like get a chuckle out of it. Laugh every
time. Oh, you gotta love it.
Every time.
You gotta love it.
And eventually she'll be living in their complex, and they're going to be her landlord, because when they sue her and the complex that they lived in for not doing anything about her putting that sign up, she'll be living in a trailer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, it's Rich Radio. We'll be back. Let's talk a little bit about Friday the 13th when we return.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my head! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. The number's 347-308-701. Right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. And don't forget to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com when you get a chance. Check out some of the stories there. I don't have an update to the case on there yet. I do have where we are in the case so far. For those of you who would like to check out some information about the case, please do check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You know, you can comment there. You can, you know, set up the knife. Say we hate your show. Tell JC he's crazy for even what they print in the internet. Tell Mary what you're bugging. She's got a raspy voice and she sounds like Kirstie Alley before she was overweight. You can do anything you like. We'll be glad to hear from you right there at ReeseOnTheRadio.com. And welcome back. Friday the 13th, which for me personally, it means something to me today. I used to be a weird out by it, but I don't really freak out by it anymore. When I was a kid, about 13, I think if it was. My birthday is August 14th. And one day, Friday the 13th landed the day before my birthday. That was had to be the scariest day. I was real, hypochondriac back then. And I was certain that something was going to happen to me on Friday the 13th. I believed in all of that stuff. I believed in the full moon. I believed in the full moon that made people act wacky. I always believed in Friday the 13th. I believed in the splitting poles and get bad luck and all the wives' tales. I believed in all of that stuff. It didn't matter what it was. I believed in it. You know, don't put three guys on a match. You know, three cigarettes on a match. You don't do that. Use the Lord's name in vain. I had all that superstition. My mom used to say this thing about her left eye jumping. I knew that was going to happen. My left eye was jumping all day. And if your eye jumped, that means you're going to get good luck. You know, you spill salt, you got to throw it over your shoulder. I did it all. I was a sucker for all of it. I don't believe any of that now. I don't believe none of that karma crap. Well, maybe karma. But I don't believe none of that superstition crap. On Friday the 13th, you go, puh. The hell with you. It don't mean nothing. Just a date. It's like Halloween. Don't mean nothing. Now, do you guys have any old wives' tales you still believe?
Well, I dreamt a fish last night.
What?
I dreamt a fish last night.
You dreamt? What does that mean? Does that mean somebody's going to be pregnant?
I believe it means somebody's going to die.
No, that's not what it means.
That's pregnant.
Fish is pregnant. Yeah, fish is pregnant. Do you believe in that stuff? Yeah, you're a girl. All girls believe that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I honestly don't believe in any of that. I used to do the whole thing back when I was a kid, too, about don't split the poles, don't light, three cigarettes off of one match, and don't walk underneath a ladder. You're going to get, or don't break the mirror. You're going to get 7 years of bad luck. I used to believe in all that, too. Throw some salt
on
your shoulder. What?
Step on a crack.
Never step on a crack. I thought you said never smoke crack.
Yeah, that's not a superstition. That's just good advice.
Exactly.
So, yeah, step on a crack, break your mom back. Oh, I don't know. I guess in a lot of ways it was good for you, but I think it really made me paranoid growing up. I'll admit this. There is one thing that I still do. I do still do it. I won't sit a pole. I won't do it. I get physically uncomfortable if people split a pole. I have to walk back around poles on the side that they win. Is that wild?
Where did that come from, though?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea where the whole thing came, but I don't know. I guess it's supposed to, break up kinetic energy between you and that individual, so you're not supposed to split poles.
If you split it and then you turn around and walk back around it, you've already split it, so why are you walking back around it?
That's the whole thing, is that you change your pattern of walk to come back around, and so you're keeping the kinetic energy. It's very stupid. I don't know why I do it. It's a habit. Okay, there's one more that I do. Oh, God, out of the way. Okay. Now, I got this from ex-girlfriend. Whenever you drive your car over train tracks, you lift your feet up.
I never heard of that.
A lot of people haven't heard of it, but this girl that I'm dating, who's kind of a dimwit, she started with it, and I got kind of. So I'm the dimwit, no, but even I do it now. So anytime you drive over train tracks, I lift my feet up, not to be touching the bottom of the floor of the car when we go over the train tracks. And it's become such a habit. I mean, I do it on instinct. It is, it's kind of bizarre, but I do it.
How do you do that if you're the one driving now?
You step on the gas real hard and you just lift both up.
And let it go.
Exactly.
And roll over the tracks.
Coast over. You coast over. All right, guys. We'll be back at the top of an hour. We'll be back in a minute. We'll talk about the NFL weekend. I know, JC, you're not going to be a part of this conversation. I understand that. But
I'm going to try.
Mary's got some, she's definitely excited about this weekend because her G-Men are playing. So when we get back, we'll talk about G-Men playing against the Green Bay Packers. And we'll find out whether or not the G-Men are going to actually win or lose. It's Reese on the radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
It's Reese on the radio. Welcome back. Number 347-308-8701. Find us on the radio.com or give us a call. Send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. The angry prophet of the prophecy of our time is here. It's the end of the week. Big games in the NFL coming up this weekend. I'm only excited about one game because I don't have a horse in the race anymore, so I don't have to really care. You know, I mean, you know, we have a dog in the race. You don't have a pony in the game. You don't really have to care. So who wins, who loses, you know, who lives, dies, who, you know, it doesn't matter. But it's the NFL, so you know, even if your team isn't in it, you still watch it because you know there are a lot of stars in the game. There are a lot of people, you know, who are well known, and you know. Your team's out of it, so you don't have to worry about rooting for the team that's up next. You know, the team that's still out there. You can pick that pony, you know, win it all, you know, or you know, the lose it all. Whoever it is that you pick, you pick. Because now it's just about the game, which is why, there. You know, it's a bittersweet feeling that I always say about your team being out of the playoffs or being, even when if they get kicked out of first round of playoffs. There's a bittersweetness to this, because here's why. With your team playing, you're at the edge of your seat. And when they screw up and it's an interception or a fumble or the team is, you know, wreaking havoc on your team, that frustration, that letdown, you're halfway in the game. If your team is losing by 20 points before halftime, you know, you're already completely like, man, I don't want to watch this, and you're done. So you're out of the game, and you don't even want to watch football. No, you don't want to hear it anymore. If there's a second game playing, you've completely lost interest in that because your team is lost. So you kind of feel down, and you kind of, you know, you shun the whole hit, but the whole game itself. It's like, man, if I can lost, you know, you get sourpuss thing on you. I ain't watching them. I don't care if they're playing San Francisco. I'm like them anyway. And so you lost. You lose out. And you probably wake up the next morning and maybe you watch the next games that are coming on because there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of interest there. But, you know, it takes away from something. So if your team is out of the playoffs, now you can just watch for fun. So every game is entertaining to you because you got no skin in the game. So it doesn't matter whether or not, you know, okay, I've got some affinity for New York. I'm not a big New York Giants fan. I kind of like them, but they're not my pony in this one. I got Green Bay. I'm a Green Bay fan, so I'm rooting for Green Bay. So it's not for them to win the Super Bowl, but at least you know to think against the Giants. Just not a Giants fan. There's nothing to do with whether or not they're from New York. I just don't like the team. Haven't liked them since 1990. And that's just me. But I know somebody who does like them. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging likes them?
No, I don't just like them. I love them. And you are a sellout.
Why am I a sellout? Because I don't want to follow them anymore?
You should always rep your home team. Even if you were a Jets fan, I'd be all right with that. But, I mean, come on. You're going to root for the Green Bay Packers, and you're from Queens, New York. I mean, what is going on?
Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Let me tell you something. I got a New York team, and that's the Jets. And the Jets ain't in it. And they're gone. And I ain't going rooting for another New York team just because they're from New York. It ain't about that. I vote green. I'm going green.
You vote green because you're mad that the Jets didn't do anything.
I said I was mad. I didn't. Did I? I know I'm mad. I told you I was mad. The team's got problems. They need to work on them. But, okay, I'll put you like this. Give me a perfect example. So, I'm not a fan of Eli. The only player I like right now on the Giants, I will tell you, I like Peter Paul. I like Justin Tuck. I like a little bit of Victor Cruz. I'll tell you why. Because he's a hometown boy. He's a hometown boy from Jersey. He's from the neighborhood. He's from our neck of the woods. You know? And he was kind of a kid who just kind of came off the bench. And he's been making some noise. Kid franchise records this year. He's from the hometown. I root for the hometown boys. So I like him on a personal level. Because I like it when a good boy or a homeboy does good. I can appreciate that name of sport. You know, they count you out. They say you can't play, and you come in and you show them wrong, and you're successful, and people like you, and you get this notoriety because you can play the game and you're a good athlete. That I can support. But as a team, I don't like them. Because I hate them. It's just that I don't see myself rooting for them.
Why don't you like Eli?
I think he is a poor man's version of a brother.
He's a poor man version of his brother, and he beat his brother's record along with Johnny Unitas' record. So how is he's no longer in the backlight. He's now in the front lines.
He ain't
so
Peyton Manning.
You can't say that.
He ain't Peyton Manning.
No, he's not Peyton Manning, and I like Peyton Manning. I'm not just all about my team. Yes, I am all about my team, but there are other players. I do follow other teams and other players. I do like certain teams because I like particular players.
So,
I do give them just where it's due. But you can't say that. Eli has proved that he is a great quarterback. I mean, first of all, we have a ring. It's not like he doesn't have a ring. He is a veteran. He has a ring.
Look, you got five rings, okay, for starters. Okay?
No,
you
but
got...
he has one ring.
Okay.
Under his belt.
Yeah, I understand it. I get it, okay? I'm not crapping Eli Manning. I'm not saying that Eli Manning isn't a good quarterback. I'm not saying that. He's a good quarterback. Congratulations. He's a good quarterback. He's just not quarterback that I like. It's not because of anything personal. It's just that I don't like that team. They're not a team that I want to root for. I want to root for Green Bay. I've been a Green Bay fan since Favre was there. You know, in 92, I was a Green Bay fan when Favre was there. The Jets were trash. I became a Jet fan in 92 after I left the Giants, after what they did to everybody that I used to like on that team. But that's just who it is that I am now. Now, let's get to the meat of the discussion here. I know you got the Giants, but do you know that the Packers are favorite with a 9-point
I know that the Packers are favorite.
9-point favorites. Nine. 9-point favorites. And the Giants are going out to play at Lambeau Field in the frozen tundra. Now, it's not to say it ain't cold in New York, and the Giants ain't playing the cold here. But they ain't ever played in no tundra. But at least this
day.
I mean, Eli has. But, you know, the point is that they're going up there to play against the indisputable champion. You know, my man Aaron
Rodgers. Just like they played the indisputable champions, the Patriots, and won in the Super Bowl in the one game that meant the most. So it's not like we can't go to Green Bay and squash them cheeseheads just like we squashed the Patriots. It's not like we can't do that, and we will do that.
Well,
wanna
you know,
bet? Want to place a little wager?
Oh. Wow. Oh, JC got hit on this one.
You want to put someone? You want to put someone to wood for it?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go. What do you want to put up?
I'll even give you the opportunity to tell me what you would like to put on the wood for. That's how confident I am.
Damn.
And that's how much I get down for my boys.
You go, man.
Okay.
What you gonna do?
All right.
Son? Bring it.
I had a question while you think about it.
Mary, why your bargain make speech? Make you speechless? Make Reese speechless?
Yes, son.
Why you bugging? I'm never speechless. I'm just trying to think of a good bet. So, since we are in two different cities, I think it's only right. We need to do something. Okay, fine. Here's what we'll do. All right. I will photograph myself in an Eli Manning jersey and post it up on Facebook on my page. And if the Green Bay Packers win, I want you to do the same. I want you wearing number 12 at the end. I want it posted at least by Tuesday. Just go to any one stores. Go throw on a jersey and get one of your friends to take a photograph of you. Get a store clerk to take a photograph of you in an Aaron Rodgers jersey.
And make
that's
a Tebow. Make a Tebow with it on.
Nah, she didn't say it against Tebow. I'll make James do that. put on Aaron Rodgers jersey, and then you can post it on your Facebook. We have to say in that posting something, you know, like favorable about that particular, you know. We'll have the whole thing like, I was wrong, you know, blank Eli or Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time. He bested blank in the game on Sunday, proving to be the best quarterback in the NFL, something along that line. Like we completely, and that, you know, that'll be our thing. Complete, you know, for prosperity, and everybody can see it, and let everybody know that we did it.
Okay, you got it.
All right, fair enough.
Pinky swear in the air.
I will do it. I promise you that I'll do it.
Phew, I had to go on girly up the bat.
Why? I'm not going to make it, like, impossible. What am I going to make
her do? No. She had to go girly up the bat. Pinky swear?
Oh, yeah.
In the air. She came up so hard with her bat and her talk, her trash talk, and then she wants to pinky swear it in the air.
Listen, don't be mad because I pulled your man card when we were just talking and you didn't even know. You know everything about Connecticut and you know absolutely nothing about football because you didn't even know that the Giants used to train in Connecticut.
He doesn't follow football. I know he watches the...
But he knows everything about Connecticut. That's the thing. He knows everything about Connecticut.
Yeah, he does.
Listen,
he don't know.
My question is, and I want just to get it on this football discussion, who is San Francisco playing?
Yeah, that's the interesting question. The rest of the games, I'll be honest, I really don't care about. The Saints, the New Orleans Saints are playing San Francisco, and the Ravens are playing the Texans. No, my bad, I apologize. Who's playing at home? Yeah,
the
49ers are home, I apologize.
The Ravens are playing at home.
And the Ravens are playing at home, and the Texans—they're playing the Texans. The Giants are as we mentioned. The Giants are going to Lambeau Field to the Packers. But I'm sorry, the most watched game is going to be the Saturday Broncos Patriots game. I mean, they're expecting this game to break every football record there. And I think what's going to be scary is I mean, I got to be honest, man. I want Tebow to win.
Who's Tebow with?
He's with the Broncos.
Are they playing the 49ers? Because that's my team.
Oh, you okay. Well, no, they're not. The Broncos are playing the New England Patriots at Gillette in Foxborough.
How could you even say you had a team when you just had to ask who Tebow played for?
Well,
I haven't followed football in years. When I followed football, I was watching Jerry Rice and Joe Montana.
You
when had, the 49ers fell off back
years,
then, and
you
decided
to rep for the 49. You decided to rep for the 49ers.
I've been a 49er fan since then. That's when I stopped wrestling. I discovered the beautiful, gorgeous, meaningful sport of pro wrestling.
The acrobatics.
Reese, you were saying?
Harry, this time it's not for you. This one's for JC. JC, the real sport of wrestling.
Professional wrestling.
Okay, thank you.
One of these days we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, sure will. Listen,
I'm gonna have to make a phone call and get one of my buddies to come up on here and have a chat with you guys.
Yeah, please. I'd love to tell me, you know. How feel when you get fake body slammed?
And you would sit at the Bret Hart if I got him on the phone.
I would say what?
Definitely.
You would sit at the Bret Hart if I got him on the phone.
Yeah, I would say, of course I would. I would say to any one of them.
To The Rock, to anybody, because it's the truth.
I'm
not going to have this discussion with you people. I'm going to let you go back and talk about your football. Wait a minute, who's New England playing?
Who's what, New England?
Yeah.
I just told you, the Denver Broncos and Tebow.
Oh, yeah, I'm going for Tebow then.
Yeah, Tebow.
I can't wait till the whole Tebow thing is over, much like I couldn't wait for the damn Icky Shuffle to be all over, said and done with.
What did you just reference?
I said the Icky Shuffle.
I mean, never mind. I mean, he was watching football in the 80s.
That's when I stopped watching.
That was the Chicago Bears, wasn't it?
Yeah, the
refrigerator
Bengal. He was a Bengal.
No, that's right. Icky Shuffle was his. Yeah, that's right. Icky was a Cincinnati Bengal. You're absolutely right.
You don't know about football. And if we were back in the 80s, I'd eat you up and spit you out about football, Missy.
Gee, thank God we're in the future. It's going to be a huge game. I just went on Drudge Report, and the headline story is saying that this game is expected to be like the highest rated football game ever. So I know. I mean, Saturday. Tomorrow, I am going to be glued to the TV watching it. I'm really, really excited about this game.
Are you going to be in town for the Super Bowl?
I will be in Connecticut for the Super Bowl. At least I intend to be. I may not be. Not exactly sure yet. We got another 3-4 weeks to go.
What weekend is the Super Bowl?
February 5th. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, really? Wow. Okay. Wow, that's enough time to build 4 pans of lasagna, one to put in the freezer for you to take home.
Oh yeah. Now we're talking.
So let's get everybody's picks. Reese.
Okay. All right.
Who do you pick out of all the teams that are playing Saturday and Sunday?
All right. Well,
obviously, we know you got the Cheeseheads.
Yeah. Absolutely.
From one cheesehead to another.
Yeah, I'm taking I'm taking Saints against the 49ers. I'm gonna take the Broncos over the Patriots. I'm gonna take the Packers over the Giants, and I'm gonna take the Ravens over the Texans.
And I got you with I pick all the same except I take the Giants over the Packers, obviously.
Okay. All right, tell me.
You're both going against the 49ers.
Yeah, we're going against the 49ers. So
that's
JC,
because we know. That's because we know football and we've been watching it. I mean, why wouldn't you go against the 49ers?
Okay.
No, now don't forget, Gene. Listen. Although that the 49ers have a great defense. The Saints have a high power offense, man. Drew Brees has been amazing this year. He broke the season.
He broke what's his name's record from the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, he broke Dan Marino's season high yardage record for the season. So he broke that today, and he broke it well.
And Dan Marino held that record for 23 or 24 years.
Yeah. He don't even have a ring. Don't mention Dan Marino to me.
Well, he's still a record holder
and
a Hall of Famer. He's a record holder and a Hall of Famer.
He's just like mentioning Patrick Ewing to me.
Okay, maybe.
My gosh.
But Patrick Ewing didn't break any records. Okay, come on, JC. So Saints and 49ers, you got 49ers. So you got Patriots and Broncos.
The Patriots. I hate the Patriots.
All right, so you say Tebow. Okay, you got Broncos. So right now you got 49ers, Broncos, but Giants, Packers. Who you got?
I'm going to go to Packers.
Oh, wow.
Jumping on the cheese bandwagon.
Yeah, okay. And what do you got in the Ravens versus the Houston Texans?
I'm going to go to the Ravens.
You going to take the Ravens on that one, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ravens, yeah. I never ever bet against them in the playoffs. They have, and they're playing against the Houston Texans, and they're playing with their third string. I think the Houston Texans are playing with their third string quarterback. They had a great game last week against Cincinnati, but it was Cincinnati, for crying out loud. I don't think they're going to have that kind of luck with Ravens defense. So it's going to be
Ray Lewis is not having it.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's going to be. Though, like I said, I'm not expecting much from the Ravens, from the San Francisco and State game. I'm thinking that's going to come out expected. I will be watching the Giant Packer game. I'm almost excited about that as I am about New England and Denver. But I really, really, I'm sorry. That game, unless it's a blowout, when I really, really think Tom Brady and them make sure that it is. But if Tebow wins that game, all hell is going to break loose if Tebow beats New England. Because
good talk radio for Monday.
Also, because everyone's saying that New England is destined for the Super Bowl this year. So, they think it's the AFC. They think they've got the AFC on lock. So, I'll be hard-pressed to see how this is all going to turn out.
But the last time they went to the Super Bowl, they lost. So, it doesn't even matter if they make it there.
Oh, what does that mean? They made it there. I'm not saying that they were going to win. I just said they make it there. Cry it out loud. You just hit them. I know you beat them. 2007. Congratulations. I guess there's nothing to love about. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back.
Hey, who Corey Proof?
Hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare. ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
are the worst person I know. I think what I hate most about you is your textbook liberal agenda, how we should legalize pot, man, how big business is crushing the underclass, how homelessness is the biggest tragedy in America. Well, what have you done to help? I work down at the soup kitchen. Never seen you down there. You want to help? Grab a ladle. And by the way, driving a Prius doesn't make you Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or any religion for that matter, because religion is for idiots. Well, who the hell are you to talk down to anyone? But you know what? I can forgive all of that, all of it, if you weren't such a bore. That's the worst of it. You're just a big, sad bore.
Thank you, Quack Bar. It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. You know, I'm going to figure out this problem. I swear to you. The guys are telling me that I need more RAM. Explain this whole RAM thing to me, please, because I don't understand this stuff. I'm kind of computer illiterate, so that's probably going to be our downfall to be of all this, is that I'm such a computer illiterate person. By the way, it's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8871. JC, so how do I get more RAM onto my computer? And when I hear that word, I keep feeling like somebody's going to plug it in like at a gas station or something.
No, it's pretty simple. It's just that what it is you need enough random access memories to run your programs. And when the programs that you're running have taken up your random access memory, and you try to start another program, it then either freezes or slows down your other programs that were running, i.e. Your connection to broadcast.
Right.
Or any of your browsers. So if you up your RAM, getting more RAM, it gives you much more memory to operate and use other programs at the same time while using these programs without little to no interruption.
Now, you tell me that that getting more RAM is not that expensive. I mean, give me a round number here. What are we talking, $200,
$300?
No, we're talking like $30 maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Mary, you know about this too?
Yes. Hello.
No, hello.
I'm a pretty worldly person, yeah. I mean, so in layman terms, your computer doesn't have enough memory to, if the file is too big, the bigger the file, the more memory you need.
Right.
And a broadcasting file, something like that, doing something like that, you need something with a lot more memory, a lot more space. You have too much, there's too many things going on, and the package isn't big enough.
Got the package isn't big enough. Freudian slip there, I think I heard.
Yeah.
The package isn't big enough. My package is just fine, the young lady.
On the next break, let me know what kind of computer you have, and I'll look it up, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we don't really have much of a break because we're going to end the show like the next 25 minutes. I tried calling James Montgomery, which for some odd reason is nowhere to be found. Hey, you know what? Hold on. I can do this, right? I can call up James Montgomery right here online, can I?
Yeah,
I can do that. Hold on. Let me see if we can get him on the line and find out why he didn't call in, because today would have been a perfect day for him. To call up.
It's Friday night and he just got paid. The party's jumping.
And place. Wait a minute. Don't I have to put his phone over here? Okay, hold on. No, what do I do?
You got to press the little telephone key button next to where it says guest calling.
Oh, okay, so do I put in his. I placed his number? Is that, I guess that's the best thing to do. Let's see if I can get this right. I've never done this before, guys. Bear with me. I'm just, okay, see, I got that, okay. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. 7, And, Okay. So, I dial. That number.
Oh, there it goes.
Wow, that worked. Let's see if we can get him on here. Let's listen. What type of craziness is that? I think he hung up for us.
after last night, he probably doesn't want to talk to me anymore. Or any of us, for that matter.
We weren't that bad. Were we that bad?
And last night was you, the two of you were just all over each other.
I don't think he wants to talk to us.
I think it made him feel bad.
Well, that's just odd. Well, okay, he doesn't want to call us. He doesn't want to talk to us. That's all right. I want him to be here on Monday if we get Jody Cantor on the show. I want him to, because probably wants to yell at her, too. I know he wants to yell at her. I know he wants to call her all kinds of names. I know he wants to say that she betrayed the Obamas by being with them for 5 years and she turned her back on them. I know exactly what, like, they just, you know what Jamie is going to say? He's going to say that the Obamas were sleeping with the enemy. That's exactly what he's going to say.
That sounds just like him.
Sleeping with the enemy. All right, guys, if you tune in today, we talked about the things. The vitriol against Tim Tebow. The Marines urinating on Taliban insurance. We talked about insurgents. We talked about, I believe, personally, that they should be applauded. They shouldn't have videotaped it. Moron, they shouldn't have taped it. But, you know, what it is that gets done to their brothers in arms, you know, I'm not looking at them any different than, you know, and who it is that they are, and they're American heroes as far as I'm concerned. We talked about Friday the 13th superstitions. I'm never, ever telling you people those superstitions again because it's embarrassing. And we also talked about whether or not little black girls have hair greasy enough to murky up a swimming pool. And that was pretty much it. On Monday, I have no idea what we're going to talk about because we're going to wait until the news happens.
I'm sorry.
What are you excited about?
I just have cut my eye over to the TV, and something I was on TV. I'm sorry.
Come on, give it up.
I'm watching Jimmy Sue Fly Snooker's daughter come off the top rope.
Trying to sneak in the wrestling. Trying to sneak it in any way you can.
I'm
not trying to sneak you in where I can. I'll have you know, Mary, and you better come on as a guest at some point. And I believe on Sunday night coming up soon, I'm going to have my own wrestling show on Blog Talk.
Oh, I will be on as a guest. You can best believe that. I will call in and tell you what I think about you and your wrestling and the nerves.
And behind the scenes, we had a conversation. One of these days, when she's going to be in Connecticut, and I'm almost certain she's going to be at some point, I'm gonna make her come to one of my shows.
You're gonna have Mary come to one of your shows?
Watch her make it go down from top to bottom.
If Mary, let me explain something to you. You're probably gonna go. You're probably gonna get caught up in the whole hype. I know you will. Because I can see it happening. You're going to be excited. You're going to have a good time. Okay? I don't mind so much that you become a fan. I don't mind so much that you enjoy yourself. Okay? But if this guy turns you into one of those wrestling zealots, you and I are going to have some beef.
let me tell you right now. I probably will be sitting there twiddling my thumbs, counting the moments until it is over. Because I am in no way, shape, or form a wrestling fan. I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid. I mean, I liked the Hulk Hogan. Randy, what is it? Who was it? Randy Macho
Savage.
Man Savage.
Oh, God rest the dead.
Yeah, God rest the soul.
God rest the soul. But so the Giant, you know, I did watch wrestling when I was a kid. And what
How about Brutus
the Barber
Beefcake?
Who?
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah, I remember him too. And who was it? The Junkyard Dog and all that. So now I'm telling my age. So shortly after that, my mother came to me and said, "Mary, why are you?"
No. Okay, we're done. I can't do that, Mary.
Why can't, I mean, it's a known fact. Why can't I do that?
Why can't she do what? What happened?
She wanted to tell secrets.
That your mother told her what?
Huh?
That, mother told her that it was fake?
No! You can't say that word.
Okay.
Wait. Let's use the word that JC prefers over fake. It's
faux. It's faux? Well, I got a better word for you. How about disingenuous? How about fraudulent? Are those better words?
That's what I said. That's what I...
How about can? How about make-believe? Huh? How about
you've been duped?
How about scripted? How about...
I'm going to start hanging out at the clubs that James hang out at.
I will admit,
7 till 10.
There's better dialogue in the WWE than there is on One Life Live. I'll give them that. But it's still dialogue.
God.
I got to tell you a great story. JC will pick me up because he knows I told this story before, but it's a good story. Someone told me about it, and I looked it up. There is some truth behind it. But you know who Vince Vaughn is. I mean, you know, not Vaughn. I'm sorry, Vince McMahon, I apologize. You know who Vince McMahon is, but this rumor went around that there was a writing meeting at WWE Studios in Connecticut, in Bristol, correct?
Oh, no, it's not Stanford. Go ahead.
In Stanford, yes.
That's ESPN you're thinking.
Right. It certainly is. Anyway, so they're having this meeting and they're talking. And Vince McMahon is in the room. And Stephanie, his daughter, is pregnant at times. And Vince McMahon, in the meeting, comes up with a brilliant idea that says, what if we do this? I got a great idea, guys. What if we say, or we speculate, that I may be the father of a baby? And she's like, Dad, what are you, crazy? No, that's incest. That's insane. No, I'm not going to, no, I don't want to be part of it. That's way, way over the top. They'll be outraged. No, people will go nuts. We shouldn't even suggest that. So he's a little put off, and they go on with their meeting. They're talking about other scenarios. And he leaves it alone for a little while, and then finally he comes and he goes, okay, what if we say your brother got pregnant? But the reason why I tell that story is what I just said about One Life to Live. I give Vince McMahon credit. This guy, regardless you think of wrestling, he makes the dialogue the most interesting thing. Every time I turn to it, I get hooked. Because I want to know the storyline. I need to know the storyline. And that's what makes it entertaining.
It's a rope opera.
It's exactly what it is. Oh, I love it.
It's a rope opera.
It's live action television weekly.
It is. And the characters are entertaining. I hate it when I don't like, you know, when they get rid of the characters I like. I'll be honest with you. There are two characters that I didn't like for a little while that they were making champions that I didn't like. I hated CM Punk, and I hated Jeff Hardy. Did not like them. It was weak. Their championships were weak. Their fights were weak. Their whole dialogue was weak. It's none of it was entertaining to me. I did not like either one of them as champions. Neither one of them. And I know it was Jeff Hardy's turn to be, because he had been there so long, and it's kind of like that's the way it runs. But he was not a great champion. Batista was a great champion, and they got rid of him. He died real quick, in that whole scheme. The Rock will always be a god to me, and I love my man, why am I forgetting his name now? I love him so damn much, and I don't even remember his name. From
Stone
Boston.
Cold?
No. Yeah, forget about it. Stone Cold, man! But I'm talking about this guy, John Cena.
Oh.
I like John Cena.
You would.
I like him. I like him. There's something about I like. It's just something about I like. I think he's fun and entertaining. He gives a little bit of it all. He's a little, you know, he's a horrible actor. You know, he's very, very stone-faced. And he doesn't give a lot of depth. you know, like The Rock does. The Rock's skins depth. That's what I love about The Rock. He, you know, he was funny. He's entertaining. You know, it doesn't matter what you think. I love that.
Yeah. I get it. I'm kind of over them now. I've become a huge, huge fan of independent pro wrestling. I think those guys work a lot harder than the guys you see on TV. They work a lot harder and you get a better show.
Yeah,
and that's
but
what, and that's the field that I've chosen to career in now, is independent. I respect those guys more than I respect the guys in the pro league.
You should just stop watching wrestling and start watching UFC championships.
I can't do it, Mary. I can't do it. Here's why.
They're savages.
No, I'm a boxing fan. And, you know,
I love boxing, too. I prefer boxing over all of it. I like that better.
You're a boxing fan? Marlon Starling, do you know who he is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do, Mary?
Yes.
Marlon Starling?
Oh, is that who you asked me earlier? He's a boxer, right?
No, Marlon Magic Man Starling.
Who the hell
is it?
YouTube him. He used to beat the crap out of Floyd Mayweather's father.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, look, boxing is the sweet science, and it always, I mean, pugilists do it. UFC, I mean, if I really want to watch two guys knock each other's teeth out, let's go to a bar in Boston. You know, I mean, on St. Patrick's Day. You know, I really want to see a bunch of guys sloppily beat each other up. There's something sloppy about the UFC. That's the reason why I don't like it. I can't get into it.
And it's funny that WWE wrestlers keep running over to UFC wrestling. Brock Lesnar became the biggest name in both WWE and UFC.
Yeah, he's huge.
He lose 20 seconds the other night and retires.
Did you ever see the show, it was like a reality show where they were bringing in people that were potentially going to be wrestlers and they were teaching them how to be wrestlers and
Tough Enough.
That was about the only wrestling thing that even piqued my interest at all.
So you kind of remember who came in number two?
The kid named
Luke?
Well, what happened to those people? Anybody make it into the WWE and make a name for themselves?
No. Yeah, the winner of Tough Enough, he ended up getting suspended for the wellness program.
Really?
And the number two guy that
was number two on that show.
I think he's at some point he's going to get a contract. His name is Luke Robinson. He's a real, real good kid. First pro wrestling match that I ever called where I was did color commentary. First night I ever did color commentary is when he won his first NWA World Championship up in Portland, Maine. And this was about 3 years ago.
And what happened to that boxing show that
Sugar Ray Leonard and Oscar De La Hoya? You know, they had a little thing going on another like NBC station. It got moved from regular NBC to another NBC station, but then no one ever heard about it again. I don't think those.
I loved that show.
It was a good show. I don't lie, it was a good show.
It was a good show, and I love Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's Stallone in it, right?
Yes, and Stallone was in it too. That's correct. Stallone was Stallone was one of the executive producers.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good show. But again, you know, once the reality thing went, who doesn't? I can't believe how many reality shows there are out there. If you got anything, you can get a reality show. I mean, Pawn Shop.
Hey, let me run this one by you. Well, you know, WWE, and I don't mean to go back to the WWF.
No, that's fine.
Yes, you do.
This year, WWE Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, much like the OWN, Oprah Network.
Please tell me this. It's going to be a WWE every day, all day network that just talks about wrestling.
Yes. No. They have different shows on there. They've got a show pretty much like The Surreal Life, where they're sticking legends in the house together. and Reese, I'm going to tell you why this is a hot show. rumored to be on that show, and then it was rumored that he's not going to be on the show, but I think they only rumored that he's not going to be on the show because they wanted him to come on as a surprise. But in your spare time, I'm going to send you some links to the Iron Sheik.
No!
Sheik is one of the most amazing legends still out there today on the circuit. He's not wrestling anymore, but this guy, he does not mince words. He doesn't give a damn as to what he says and who he says it about.
I heard he's kind of a, you know, he's a reckless dude.
Oh, very reckless with his mouth. Oh my gosh! But he's one of the funniest on the planet, and they're gonna put a bunch of these guys in the house together who couldn't get along on the road back then, and now they're a bunch of old men still, you know. Looking for that last 15 minutes of fame, that's going to be a very interesting show.
Well,
a reality show on the WWE Network. But there is 24 hours a day. I mean, Vince owns every piece of major pro wrestling in this country when he bought out WCW back in 2001. He owns the video archives from WCW, ECW, WWE, WWF, WWF, and all the little ones in between. So he's got a library that he can go on for a couple years. Before you end up watching the same program twice.
I will tell you this. You know what's really, really hurting wrestling, even though they think it's doing them a great service? I'll tell you what's hurting them. The female wrestlers. I hate them. I don't want them wrestling.
Oh, they're getting their own show.
They look awful. They look awful when wrestle. They really, really don't make it look like, you know, they really, really make it look panned, if you get my meaning. Yes, they're attractive, and that's all.
No,
you know,
no,
that's fine.
They're wrestling a lot better now than they ever have.
Yeah.
They're
really
a little more athletic now than they ever have.
Or do they look like men with women's heads?
No, they're all attractive.
They're gorgeous women.
It would have been better if they would have put them all in the ring and just had, like, a cat fight or something.
They do that. I'll give them that.
Yeah, they do. And they're very athletic now. You have to be.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be.
I see these girls doing flips and somersaults and stuff. I mean, I'll give them to them. It's a lot. You're right. It is a lot better than...
It's just like being a stripper.
Well, what I'm saying is it's better. Well, it's not like being a stripper unless there's, you know,
yes,
not
it is. You gotta be acrobatic and all that stuff to get on the pole and do. I mean, it's a form of art.
Well, you're not being slammed on a stage. Can we change the subject? Mary's gonna make me come to where she is, and I'll find you. I'll find you
and put me in a figure four leg lock.
That's funny you'd mention that because that's the name of my show, Figure Four Weekly.
Love it. Anyway,
I won't go there.
Anyway, guys, you know what it is? It is Friday the 13th, and of course it's time for the Friday night dance party. And a group that I have grown to love, because I kind of fell in love with them while I, you know, was going through my little 2.5 year stint. The one thing I love about this group, when I actually saw a music video of them, is that the girl in the group plays bass, and bass is one of my favorite instruments. It's my favorite instrument to learn how to play. Yes, I own my own bass, and I am learning very, very slowly. When I saw the girl playing bass, to me, I just thought that was the sexiest thing in the world. I love watching a girl play bass, especially when she's thin and the bass is bigger than her, and she's holding up. She looks so damn fine. But the group is called the Silver Sun Pickups, and the song is called Panic Switch. And yes, we don't play hip hop here unless it's Mary Mary, Why You Buggin'. I will not be playing any hip hop.
We will be negotiating that, folks.
We will not be playing any hip hop here on Reese on the Radio, except for. The music it is that I love. So for your Friday night party, Panic Switch by the Silver Sun Pickups. We'll see you guys next week. We love you, as always, for tuning in to Reese on the Radio all week. We'll see you Monday. We're hoping. We'll send out an email. We'll send out an alert on Facebook and Twitter. And you can follow me on Twitter on Reese on Radio at Twitter. We'll send an alert if you indeed get Jody Cantor, who's going to be on the show, hopefully. We're 50% there. We made enough folks. We're going to try to get her on there on Monday. We'll let you know all the details. Please log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and we'll alert you then. And, you know, we'll see you next week, guys. I love you guys, and talk to you tomorrow.